gardening information the natural way. The Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett, is ready to go with the best information and advice on organic gardening and organic living. If you want to avoid the toxic life, jump right in with us. The water's fine. Here's your leader, John Howard, the Dirt Doctor Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. You just need to put the phone down if you're holding and listen for a while. We're going to visit with Tony just a bit. But and we'll talk about anything that you want to discuss. The reason I wanted to bring Tony on today is because we're going to have Sid Miller on talking about the feral hogs next week. The Commissioner of Agriculture has agreed to come on the show. And Tony and I have been talking about this. He and his wife, Mary Ann, have a wonderful little farm in McKinney and have dealt with this problem. We'll talk about that, and they've dealt with it in some other ways too. So I'm just trying to learn more about what is a gigantic problem in the state of Texas, right, Tony?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Howard.
Good morning. How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. Tried to plant potatoes yesterday, but that little bit of rain made things kind of wet, so I'm going to have to hold off on putting any potatoes in.
I'm behind on everything, so don't embarrass me. Potatoes, I still need to plant. A lot of the cool season things I didn't get in. I got garlic coming in like gangbusters. And yeah. The asparagus is kind of funny this year. Is yours putting some pretty big spears up?
Yeah. First of all, it seems like, based on the weather, it's behind instead of ahead.
I think so, too.
But I don't have very much of it right now.
Well, what I wanted to talk about a little bit with you is kind of your personal experience with hogs. I know everybody out there doesn't think that this will be a personal problem for them, but for the countryside and for agriculture and for farms and for a lot of people, it is a big deal. And the thing that's disturbing is it seems to be growing exponentially, these wild pigs.
Yeah.
Y'all, tell everybody a little bit about your experience there on your own place and the other people you've worked with and what your kind of shoot-from-the-hip thoughts are.
Well, we've only got 13 acres here, and up until this year, I've never seen a pig or the evidence of a pig on our property for as long as we've been here. However, there's thousands of acres around me, almost all of it leased land, and fortunately for me, my neighbor is the leasor. He's the one that leases the land from the landowners who are in, who knows, they could be in Mexico, they could be in Canada, they could be in Hong Kong, they could be in Houston. So we get to go on the property all around here because he's leasing it, and we've been trapping hogs for the last 10, 15 years. But they've never been on my property itself. Well, this year, I was walking out in my pasture on the other side of I have about 3 acres of 13 fenced off for my goats and sheep and my dogs and chickens, etc., with pretty tight fencing. And all of a sudden, all along the creek behind my house and all the area behind there, it's all rooted up. I'm talking 4 or 5 foot sections at a time, all rooted up. I'm going, what in the world? So I put a game camera out there, and sure enough, here comes feral hogs at night, 10, 12, 15, 20 of them, just running through there like a herd of ants, you know, looking for acorns, looking for pecans, because I've got a lot of pecan trees down along my creek there. And sure enough, they're on my property doing damage. So we increased our trapping on the adjacent large tracts of land. And just in the last 3 months, we've caught probably close to 150 hogs. Never had that happen before. We've always caught maybe 20 or 30 once a year, maybe twice a year, because they kind of come and go when they feel pressure.
Well, I want go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I want to talk about the kind of trap that you use in that video that you've got of the fencing was something I wanted to pass on to everybody. It was really a pretty fascinating thing. But do you have any idea why this has gotten so out of balance, why this has has become such a big problem.
I do, and this has been collaborated with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department as well as the AgriLife Extension Service, both of them who have professors on board who've been studying this for years. And it's like a lot of other things with feral hogs, it's the result of a perfect storm, we call it, that happened starting about back in the 80s. People started moving feral hogs from point A to point B because they're fun to hunt. It's kind of a cool game animal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even talking about hunting ranches or the pay to hunt. I'm talking about just somebody that's got 500 acres that said, wouldn't it be fun to have some hogs on there to go out and shoot on the weekends? So moving is one. We also started deer hunters, and by the way, I'm a deer hunter, I'm a hog hunter, I'm a turkey hunter, I'm a dove hunter. I mean, last year I shot two deer in my backyard up here in McKinney with a bow and arrow and skinned and processed them myself. So I'm not against hunting or hunters. However, hunters started supplementing their feed to deer back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Now, corn is a very high protein food.
Yep.
And there's a lot of animals that benefited from all that corn, about 300 million pounds a year we put out, hunters do, a year. That's the second thing that helped the hog population. Not only did they have something to eat, but because nutritionally it was so good, it increased their survival rate and their birth rate.
Yep, makes sense.
Third thing, I believe, I don't know if these are in order or not, these are just coming to my mind, is they become really trap smart. They're smart animals, pigs are. That's been observed in many different ways. And they become nocturnal. So it's been tough for predators and hunters, the hunters are about the only predators there are for feral hogs, to get after them unless you want to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
So hunting became more difficult, but the last thing and the biggest one that I hinted at is they have an intrinsic reproduction rate. They're the most prolific large animal on Earth, and we could get into how many and how often and things like that if you want to.
Well, Sid's got all that kind of numbers. We'll talk about that next week, but it's growing at an alarming rate. The other thing that's bad about them is that they're omnivores, right? They'll eat anything. And that can be a big problem.
Yep, they're opportunistic, whatever comes along. They're omnivores, like you say. We're talking plants and animals, vertebrate as well as invertebrates. I mean, they'll eat fish as well as lizards that don't have spines and stuff, but worms, as well as birds on the ground or snakes or anything else. The crops are the most visible things that they feed on because you get to see the damage they do.
Tell people why they're doing that damage. That's something a lot of people probably don't realize.
Yeah, they're amazingly strong animals. That snout, everybody in Texas knows what it's like to deal with the black gumbo clay that we've got. I mean, once it gets dry, it's like concrete. They go through that like it's butter. No problem at all getting through that hard clay that we've got here. And they're going after worms, they're going after grubs, they're going after roots, they're going after whatever's there.
Well, they're going after moisture too, right? Because of their sweat.
That's a secondary thing. When they're out in the fields, it's mostly food. But like you're saying, they don't have natural sweat glands. So they do need it in the summertime when it's hot to keep cool. They do need to get in where they've got water, which is a bad problem for us because they tear up the streams, the sedimentation of the streams. They erode the banks. Once a storm comes, now that it's all dug up like that, wallowed, it's easy for it to run off and into the streams. So it's a tough situation all the way around. Damage these pigs do.
I sent Tony and also Bob Webster a website I ran into yesterday. I can't remember the name of it offhand. It just popped up, and it didn't pop up when I tried to pull it up here. But it was a website on control, a company that's selling the service of controlling these pigs. these wild pigs, and it talks about the fact that they're using humane techniques and they're relocating them. And as Tony explained it at the beginning of his talk there, that's about the worst thing that you can possibly do.
And it's illegal.
Yeah.
That's absolutely illegal.
Yep.
The law says you could transport hogs. You could hold them for up to like 4 to 7 days after you've trapped them.
Tony, can you hang on with me through the break? Let's talk just a little bit more on the other side.
Go ahead.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to be right back. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, talking with Tony Maniseri about these wild feral pigs in Texas and other states across the country. Lava sand is a critical part of my organic recommendations for bed preparation and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. I have found a high-quality lava product with significant paramagnetism. It's American Rio and their Maverick Lava Sand Soil Amendment. It'll dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production. You can buy it in bags or bulk. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752 or go to AmericanRio.com.
You remodel your kitchen, you remodel your bathroom. Now remodel your gut. That's right, your gut. Any successful remodel job requires workers to show up with the necessary tools and ready to work. Well, it's just like that with probiotics. They need to come with prebiotics to encourage growth, as well as postbiotics to nourish the gut. And Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are the only brand of probiotics that do just that. Dr. O'Hara's is the only probiotic capsule that contains a rich nutritional prebiotic, along with a full spectrum of 12 selected probiotic strains and naturally derived postbiotics. During a 3-year fermentation process, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics create healthy, organic nutrients and the diversity of flora that are necessary for long-term digestive health. So remodel your gut today with the right workers. Get Dr. O'Hara's probiotics at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide today.
Espoma has extremely high-quality organic products, including liquid plant foods with the innovative Easy Dose cap. Espoma also has a full line of granular organic lawn and garden foods, potting soils, and soil amendments that fit the Dirt Doctor program perfectly. Ask for Espoma products at garden centers, hardware, and other quality stores all across the U.S. For information on stores and products, visit Espoma.com or call 1-800-634-0603.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
The Medina Corporation, led by Stuart Frankie and his family in Hondo, Texas, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator works by stimulating the soil biology and roots to help plants all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. Medina products can help you spend your budget wisely, increasing production and treating the environment right. All the Medina products are free of toxic chemicals. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. For proper care of your lawn and garden, Medina is the choice. Ask for a Medina at your local hardware, nursery, or feed store. Medina Natural Organic Products, 50 years young and still environmentally friendly. MedinaAg.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you, and Tony Manasseri is with us. Tony, I wanted to try to, if I can get the right thing going here.
Yeah, that company you said.
There you are. Yeah, let's chat about that real quick, and then I have a couple more things I want to work in before you have to go.
I'm going to have to call them to find out what they're talking about. In Texas, it's legal to hold hogs for up to 7 days. And within that 7 days, you could move the hogs, live hogs I'm talking about, to a permitted buying station. And the Texas Animal Health Commission is who regulates all this. They have a list on their website, Texas Animal Health Commission, of the buying stations around the state. So you can move them, you can hold them up to 7 days, and then you can move them within that 7 days to a permitted buying station, period. There is no pasture, you know, some bucolic spot that you could go and release wild hogs that you've captured. It'd be like me capturing fire ants from my property and taking them someplace else and releasing them to let them live free, you know.
Well, plus, it's like you said, it's part of the problem of this huge overpopulation that we've got. Let's talk about the trap design that you are using. That video you've got of that big boar crashing against the fence is something I want to try to put on the website for everybody to see, because it really gives you a good idea how powerful they are, but how well that fencing system works.
Yeah, the best fence, best trap that we found is a what's called a big boar trap, which costs about $4,000, and it actually goes straight up in the air on posts, and then you can release it from your cell phone after you've looked at a video watching hogs go in. That's how the technology has increased on this. I don't know too many farmers around here that are flush enough to be able to spend $4,000 for a trap like that. So we built our own. Basically what it is, it's about 10 cattle panels going in a big teardrop fashion, okay? It's a teardrop shape with a trap door on the front. We put a camera outside of that trap door to see if the pigs are actually using the trap, going in and out, getting the bait that we put in there. And we lock the trap door open. Once we've determined that the pigs are going in and out freely, the whole a group of pigs is called a sounder. Mm-hmm. So once that whole sounder, the mamas, the boars, the babies, et cetera, are going in and out of there freely eating that food, excuse me, we then set the tripwire on that trap door. and the tripwire is way in the back of that trap, which is about 40 feet away. Eventually, during the night, as they're roaming around there eating up our bait, somebody's going to hit that tripwire. Down it comes, and now we've got them in that trap that you saw.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can send me that video, we'll try to show that there, because it's really good. But that the cattle panels, just typical cattle panels from the feed stores, what used is the fence, and they give just enough for the big old boars to not be able to tear them up, it looks like.
Right. Although we did have one boar jump from ground level, flat-footed, over the top of that four-foot panel.
There's something. Well, real quick, before you have to go, what about poisoning them? What's your take on that as with what we currently know?
Very difficult question. I think I understand all the downsides and hazards of using the wharf and hog bait is what they're talking about.
Right.
The possibilities of the secondary kill, the suffering of the animal, the chance of non-targeted species. I understand all those things, okay? But our environment is getting assaulted right now severely by these feral hogs. Not only the creeks and rivers, not only the farm and ranches, the landowners, not only the ground nesting birds and all the animals that live on the ground, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That, to me, that population explosion caused by these feral hogs causes greater harm to other animals in the environment, excuse me, than all the downsides of using the poison. So I'm not a fan of the poison. I don't like having to do that, but we're in a different situation now. We've got to do something because it could only get worse. And you'll hear Sid talk about the reproduction rate next week, and you'll know why the explosion's happening.
Yeah, he'll bring us more details. I talked to him briefly about a different product that came up. Bob Webster suggested when I was visiting with him about this on his show, and it's sodium nitrate. And Sid just immediately said, yeah, it'd be great. It's a whole lot better way to go. Problem is, it's not legal. It's not a legal product to use to kill the hogs, and it's stuck in whoever makes that approvals department right now. Maybe that's something that all of us in what we're doing here can help move along quicker and help provide a better product to use. Apparently, it just puts them to sleep. There's no pain involved or anything else.
What it does is it interferes with their blood being able to exchange oxygen, mm-hmm. So it causes asphyxiation. But if the legality of it is the only impediment, I think that would be the easiest thing. I think there's some other reasons why he's not going that route, but I'll let him.
We'll talk about all that and try to get all that out on the table. He seemed pretty open about talking about it all.
Yeah.
One final thing. Somebody called in and asked, why don't we just capture them all and use them for food and feed them to people that need food and everything? What do you think on that?
We've been trying to do that for the last 20 to 30 years.
Yeah.
It's just not enough. Texas Parks and Wildlife estimates that we, hunters, trappers, everything combined takes about 25% of the population each year.
We're going to have to run, Tony. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll talk more about this and keep everybody in the loop, okay?
Okay, bye, Howard.
Be back right after this. Don't go away.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com, that's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
The Medina Corporation, led by Stuart Frankie and his family in Hondo, Texas, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator works by stimulating the soil biology and roots to help plants all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. Medina products can help you spend your budget wisely, increasing production and treating the environment right. All the Medina products are free of toxic chemicals. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. For proper care of your lawn and garden, Medina is the choice. Ask for Medina at your local hardware, nursery, or feed store. Medina Natural Organic Products, 50 years young and still environmentally friendly. MedinaAg.com.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard back with the loud birds. Let's see if we can get caught up real quickly here. Doris, Cedar Creek Lake first. Hi, Doris.
Good morning, Howard.
What's up?
I really enjoyed that talk, and I'm looking forward to next week.
Well, I don't know if everybody's interested in hogs, but it's an environmental problem, a big one, and everybody ought to be at least concerned about hearing what the solution is going to be.
I agree with you completely, and I'm not a hunter, but I don't have anything against them. My sons are, but, you know, I do think there needs to be some good solutions versus those that are not. I wanted to ask you what I called for, Howard, please, is I have an almanac calendar. It's telling me here root crops like onions is what I'm mainly interested in. Should not be planted again until the 13th. What do you, you know, has above ground crops and the better dates, root crops, seed beds, all of that stuff?
Well, gardening by the moon is what you're talking about, Doris.
Okay.
And a lot of people hear that and just kind of tune me or anybody else out thinking, well, that's voodoo and that's crazy and all that. But it very much is a real thing in general. And you can get as complicated with it as you want. There's some excellent books out there. There's a Lou Ellen book that has great detail about it. And what's the lady author that she's no longer alive that wrote about it a lot. But anyway, we've got some in our books and website about it. And the main thing you need to remember is this. Root crops, we're talking about when you plant a plant from seed. If you're planting a transplant, it doesn't make any difference at all.
Oh, okay.
If you're planting a plant from seed, however, you want to plant the seed potato or the carrot seed, the plants that produce underground,
mm-hmm.
during the decreasing light of the moon, the waning of the moon.
Oh, okay.
The things that flower above ground and produce fruit and nuts above ground, you want to plant the seed during the waxing of the moon, during the increasing light of the moon, and as close to full moon as you can. And the difference that you will see is dramatic. And I'll tell you, the easiest way to see how powerful this is, well, first of all, think about the tides. You know, the ocean tides are controlled by the moon. And think about how much energy, how much power is involved in that.
Oh, that's mind-boggling.
Yeah, so why couldn't the moon affect the moisture in a seed and a germinating plant? The other thing is, if you'll get a haircut, or for guys, get a shave, or women shave their legs or whatever, during the decreasing light of the moon, they'll have to do it far less quickly again, because the hair won't grow nearly as fast as if you do it during the increasing light of the moon. It's why ranchers dehorn cattle and sheep and, you know, other things, goats and whatever, during the decreasing light of the moon, and do castration. You'll do all those kind of things because there's far less bleeding.
Oh.
Same thing. It's all about the control of the moisture. And, yeah, it does absolutely make a difference.
That is so very interesting.
Well, we got a little bit about it on DirtDoctor.com, and if you'll do a search, there's some terrific books that go into it in greater detail. That's about as much as I do because of time issues.
I used to always buy my mom those almanac books,
mm-hmm.
and she really liked them, but I always got so confused with them. They was confusing to me.
Yeah, they'll talk about what days of the month even to do things, and I don't want to get that detailed. I don't have time. But
yeah, okay. So a transplant, you can do anytime,
doesn't matter, because
the seeds, it does make the difference.
Seed is what you're worried about.
Okay, so these onion transplants, it's already green on top.
Yep, doesn't matter. Any day, be fine.
I need to get them in the ground.
I'll take that back a little bit. You might see a little bit more, a little bit quicker establishment if you plant transplants like that during the increasing light of the moon.
Things, and then I'm going to get another bunch.
Yeah, see if it makes a difference.
Like the 13th or whatever the date was. There's several dates starting on the 13th.
Okay.
And I'm going to try it there and just kind of do a comparison.
You're in charge of that research. Get back with us.
I appreciate the information you gave me. Very interesting.
Thanks, Doris.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go. The number is 866-444-3478. Here's Dick in Highland Village. Hi, Dick.
Hi there.
Sorry I had to wait so long.
In any case, I have a quick and simple question. With the weather we've had here in early spring, I'll call it, does that change or should that change or alter our fertilizing programs, our pre-emergent, et cetera?
Well, yeah, I don't recommend chemical pre-emergence, of course, at all. The only one I recommend is the corn gluten meal. And as we've talked now for a couple of weeks, actually, I think it's too late for the pre-emergent effect that you would get in the turf. Now, the corn gluten meal will give you great pre-emergent effect if you're doing a new bed and have bare soil. Because, see, when you have bare soil, you've disturbed weed seed, and they're doing what nature has designed to do, you know, is to germinate and grow and cover the bare soil. Well, if you're doing a new vegetable gardening bed or a herb bed or even landscaping, and you've created a bare bed and planted a bunch of things, corn gluten meal is a wonderful tool to use before you put the mulch down to keep the weeds at bay. Out in the turf, I think all you can do right now is don't catch the clippings, leave all the clippings on the ground, fertilize with organic fertilizer if you haven't already. And you know, your good grasses will outcompete the weeds in most cases. When you have things that you don't like, you can chop them out. You can spot spray with vinegar or fatty acid products and do that kind of thing. But
okay.
For pre-emergent summer weeds,
right?
crabgrass, grass burrs, right, you know, those kind of things, it's too late to do a pre-emergent.
Right, right. But we could start fertilizing and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. I talk about fertilizing with the organic program starting in January.
Yeah.
So anytime from January through now is fine. In fact, you can literally fertilize with organic fertilizer any month of the year if you want to. If you don't, you know, if time creates a situation where you don't have any option.
I know you can't see my soil or test it, but I have zoysia grass, and it seems not to color up well. Is that an iron problem, do you believe, or just a conjecture?
Well, iron can be one of the issues. Generally, when you have chlorosis in plants, it means that there's a lack of trace minerals in general, not just one. Have you been using organic fertilizers?
Yes.
In the past?
Yeah, chicken manure and that sort of organic fertilizer.
What I think that I would recommend first is lava sand. If you haven't done that, broadcast it like a fertilizer. Put it out at least 50 pounds per 1,000 square feet up to 80 to 100. And then do the Garrett juice spray that has mycorrhizal fungus in it, and you'll really kick that color up in it quickly because you're going to be releasing a lot of new trace minerals that are tied up by stimulating all the biological activity in the soil.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll try that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate the call.
You have a good day.
You too. Let's go to Paris, Texas, and talk to David. Hello, David.
Hi, Howard. There, as you know, is another gardening talk show host around this area that for years has extolled the benefits and the safety of glyphosate.
No, sure.
Yeah, but I've noticed when I've been forced to listen to him in the last couple of years, he no longer even mentions the word. And that's a good sign. I'm a little disappointed that he stopped short of acknowledging the global studies that convict this.
Well, I didn't know that had happened, but if he has quit recommending,
he has stopped talking about it entirely, and I'm glad to hear that. But that's just a side note. My question has to do with tomatoes.
Okay.
I have a tendency to plant the indeterminate varieties.
I do, too.
Yeah. The Romas and a few heirlooms that I plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I have noticed in the last couple of years, I just got tired of caging, staking, tying. Good heavens. I finally decided to just stop all that nonsense and provide wider areas for the tomatoes and let them ramble like they want to do. And, of course, as you know, what they do is each vine will put down roots, and my production went sky high.
That works really well, except for one thing, and it's I've done it too. I've done exactly what you're saying. It's a little bit hard on the harvesting compared to being able to walk around a cage, and you know it's a neater situation. But as far as production goes, I totally agree with you.
You pay for that convenience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you pay for your convenience of staking by less production.
I agree with you. By the way, if you haven't,
here's what you do. You walk around daily, and you find those tomatoes that are sitting on the ground, and you simply lift them up and place something under them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes a little more time. If you haven't yet, I was going to give you a tip since you like indeterminate, which means they just keep growing and vining, and it'll get as tall as they want to get. There's one called Super Fantastic. If you haven't tried yet, give it a whirl. It's a terrific one.
Okay, I will do that. Pardon my dogs.
I just wanted to say hi.
One last comment. This aforementioned radio talk show host always comes out every year with his recommendations for tomatoes for North Texas. And we apparently have our choice between Sweet 100s and celebrities and celebrities and Sweet 100s. Are we, Howard, reduced in our part of the world to just those two?
No, in our vegetable.
What are your tomato recommendations?
Well, we've got a whole bunch of them recommended in our vegetable book that we did. But the ones I personally like the most, I like Juliet. It's incredibly productive. It's kind of a Roma-type tomato.
Uh-huh.
The Super Fantastic is a great one. For fun and delicious, pick them like grapes off of a vine. All of the little currant tomatoes are terrific and great for kids, and they're also good to use in containers. I do heirlooms. I'll do a mixture of things. I think having the biodiversity and the varieties that you plant is the key. Just try new things from time to time, and when you find one that really performs well for you, like the Juliet, you know, make that a large percentage. But I like a lot of different ones. They're all covered in detail on our website and in my vegetable gardening book that I did with Malcolm Beck.
Are the Juliets and the Super Fantastic kind of a medium size?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Super Fantastic's pretty big. I got to run. I hope that
all
helps.
Right.
I'll
Thank
talk
you,
to you later, okay? I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this. To turn any space into a garden, it's easy with Smart Pot. It's a fabric container that's portable, foldable, reusable, 100% BPA-free, provides better drainage than ceramic or clay pots, releases heat and prevents soil compaction and even circling roots. A really big deal. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com. That's smartpots.com.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
DRAM is celebrating 75 years of design and manufacturing of quality watering tools. Heavy-duty DRAM sprinklers fit any size yard. Match any shape in your yard with the 9-pattern turret sprinkler. The oscillating sprinkler has 18 brass jets for uniform watering of up to 3,000 square feet. The spinning sprinkler creates a very fine soaking spray. DRAM sprinklers, the professional's choice for lawn and garden, are available at your local independent garden center. Visit DRAM on Facebook or at DRAM.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Do your probiotics have baggage? They should. You see, if your probiotics do not include prebiotics as well as postbiotics, then you are missing out on a lot of healthy benefits. Most probiotic products do not contain prebiotics, their food, or postbiotics, the organic matter that promotes the long-term colonization of the good versus bad bacteria in your body. But Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics does. Select live probiotic bacteria are blended with fruits, vegetables, seaweed, and herbs and allowed to grow over 3 years to assure superior digestive and immune support. Dr. Ohira's probiotics then combines this rich culture medium, prebiotics, and the resulting nutrients from this fermentation process, postbiotics, providing you with a superior probiotic supplement. No other probiotic can offer your body this support. So switch to the best premium probiotic on your retailer shelf today. Dr. Ohira's probiotics, available at fine health food stores. Don't accept a substitute.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. A couple of catch-up things, then we'll go back to the phones. I didn't mention my tea this morning, and it's unusual, and it's good. Very simple. It's lime juice, one lime, and honey, and water. That's it. It's really – oh, I take it back. I put apple cider vinegar. I always do that. But it's a very nice tea to try. Give that a shot. I'm going to talk about tomatoes a little bit more after I get caught up on the phone calls. And one tip I want to give, we still haven't identified the contest picture, the tree that's on dirtdoctor.com to win one of our natural organic certification courses. And I'll give you a tip. There's been some really good guesses so far. The guesses have been bodark, mesquite, and pecan was one that I took off the air. All three good. All three of the, could be those three trees, the character. This one is the character that is on this tree that I shot is a little unusual for the tree it is. But the tip I'll give you is this. The bark is a lighter gray color than any of those three, bodark, mesquite, and pecan. It's very, very light. May not show up that well in the photograph, but that might give you a tip about what the tree is. Let's see. What else? I think that caught me up. Oh, one other thing. Somebody called about, and Tony and I were kind of rushed at the end there, about feeding the feral hogs, killing them and feeding them to various people, putting them on the market and everything. The problem is the young ones, delicious. I just had some myself. You got to be real careful, which I wasn't, apparently, cooking real slow and all that kind of thing. But the larger hogs, pretty wild, gamey, tough meat. So there's, you know, a little bit of an issue there. Back to the phones. Let me see where I'm going. Josie, is that right, in Arkansas?
Yes, I'm here. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. What's up?
I have a full growth lilac shrub.
Okay.
And it is not prolifically blooming, and it hasn't, it's been, I won't say dormant, but it doesn't give me that pop that I look for.
Did it ever look good, Josie?
Once or twice. I've had it 10 years.
Okay. My guess, it ought to be doing really well for you. You're in northern Arkansas, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. Climate and the soil and everything ought to be beautiful, perfect for lilac. So my assumption, and it's probably not a great leap at all, is that like most trees that we talk about, it would be helpful for you to take the soil and the grass, if it's there, and mulch off the base of the plant. Get the flare exposed.
Oh, okay.
Any kind of a woody plant, you know, from rose bushes through lilacs up to sequoia trees, need to have the base of the plant exposed to do its best. And that includes, you know, flowering. The other thing I'd recommend to you strongly is to use Garrett juice both as a foliar spray and as a drench in the soil. The formula for Garrett juice is compost tea, vinegar, molasses, and seaweed. It's on our website and in my books and everything. Or you can get one of the commercial products if you don't like making home brews. But the Garrett juice mixture will help set buds and create flowering on plants better than anything I've ever used.
All right. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Okay. Let me know how it works.
I'll do it.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Let's see here. And that formula, basically, if you want to make it yourself, real simple. Use compost tea or a liquid humate. And, you know, 1 cup of a concentrate there in a gallon of water, and then 1 ounce of apple cider vinegar, liquid molasses, liquid seaweed, and apple cider vinegar. That's the formula for Garrett juice. Now, there's other things you can do, but that's the basic skeleton formula, and it works great. You can add mycorrhizal fungus. You can add other trace mineral packages and all kinds of things, and some of the commercial products have those added, but the base product works awfully well just by itself. Jean in Irving is next up. Hi, Jean.
Good morning, Howard. I have a question about Italian cypress. We have about 6 of them, and I've noticed that on the tops of them, they're starting to look a little brown, and so I didn't know if it was too much water or what could it be? I thought they were pretty strong plants, trees.
They are pretty strong, but they have a slight fatal flaw, maybe isn't the right term, but it's kind of what it is. If the conditions aren't what they like, they can develop a fungal disease. There's a bacterial stem canker that can also hit the plant. Both are related to the plant being in stress from being kept watered too much.
Okay.
And what they're a xeric kind of plant. You know, you see them in the places around the world where they like it the best on rocky hillsides and things like that.
Right.
Well, in our heavy clay soils, and if they're too deep in the ground, in other words, that flare is not exposed, and they're staying a little too wet, you'll start seeing that brown. It'll get heavier and heavier, and it'll finally take them out. You can control the fungus and bacteria with the same things that I use for powdery mildew on crepe myrtles. You can use milk and water spray. You can use hydrogen peroxide. You can use cornmeal soaked in water to make a cornmeal juice. Mm-hmm. But if you don't change the condition that they don't like, it'll come back.
Okay. Well, I think it's just from the rain because I don't even have a sprinkler.
Probably just drainage. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Got to run. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back right after this.